From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, August 7th, 2026. A federal investigation has found that the use of conventional firefighting tactics unintentionally contributed to the deadly explosion last May at Robbins Lumber in Searsmont. It also recommends that firefighters receive training on the unique hazards of silos and their contents. Patty White reports.
The report from the National Institute for Occupational Health and Safety says the fire originated in an oxygen-limiting silo at the mill, but employees and firefighters didn't know it was different from a conventional silo. Employees also weren't aware that the silo's contents, wood shavings and sawdust, could be combustible and therefore didn't alert firefighters to the hazard. When firefighters sprayed water into the sealed silo, it likely forced air in and stirred up dust, creating an explosive mixture that launched the silo into the air. One firefighter died at the scene, another firefighter and one of the mill's owners died weeks later from burn injuries. Several others were critically injured and three remain hospitalized. Investigators also found that fire departments failed to form a unified command structure response for information sharing and did not use an accountability system to identify the location of firefighters. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Portland police have charged a man with murder following a suspicious death investigation near Tookie's Bridge earlier this week. Police say a preliminary investigation determined the 21-year-old Julian Neto was walking with friends Wednesday night when they were approached on a bicycle by 58-year-old Glenn Rodney. A physical altercation occurred, and Rodney allegedly fled the scene moments later. Emergency personnel attempted life-saving measures. Neto was transported to Maine Medical Center and was pronounced dead. Rodney was taken into custody that same night after witnesses provided police with a description of the suspect. Anyone who witnessed the incident is urged to contact the Portland Police Department. A Biddeford woman is suing a Freeport-based hotel group in federal court after her personal information was stolen in a data breach last November. A class action lawsuit was filed on behalf of nearly 7,200 people whose names, social security numbers, and health information was compromised. It alleges that the Main Course Hospitality Group knew about the data breach in November, but only began informing victims 8 months later. The lawsuit claims that the hospitality group failed to implement reasonable measures to secure its information systems, and it says the hotel group violated Maine's notification law, which requires companies to report incidents no more than 30 days after they become aware of a data breach. Main Course Hospitality Group, which manages hotels in Maine and throughout New England, did not respond to a request for comment. A Massachusetts developer has proposed a novel idea for storing large amounts of data and computing power in Down East Maine. The feasibility is questionable. It would take years to complete, and it's already triggered a local backlash. Peter McGuire reports from Eastport, where opponents across the political spectrum are circling the wagons against the proposal to place the data center underwater in Passamaquoddy Bay.
The sunrise over Johnson Cove shines down on lobster boats and seabirds starting their day. It's a placid summer morning on Passamaquoddy Bay.
And I love it here. It's a beautiful place. It's a quiet place. And it's a very, you know, wildlife and nature. That's what Eastport is about to me.
That's why resident Sue Ellen Hendricks was furious when she learned about our proposed underwater data center. She helped organize against the plan and gathered signatures for an ordinance to ban the facility and anything similar. Turns out, it wasn't hard to convince many in the community of about 1,300 people.
98% of the people signed it that we spoke to. Everyone was behind, we don't want this data center. There was no one saying, well, we need the jobs. No one was questioning why it should be here because nobody really wants it here.
It all started back in February when a company called Deep Green Western Passage filed an application with federal energy regulators seeking 4 years to explore a data center in Johnson Cove.
I have said that it's the equivalent of an idea scrawled on a bar napkin by very smart people, but who don't necessarily know if it's possible even to do what they're doing.
Eastport City Manager Brian Schuth says as he understands it, the idea is for ocean water to cool the heat generated by the facility's computer servers. One study found land-based data centers can increase nearby air temperatures by up to 4 degrees Fahrenheit. The pilot model would also rely on the bay's 22-foot tides to power turbines that would generate up to 5 megawatts of electricity. But Schuth says it's still just an idea.
Is it possible? We don't know. Is it appropriate here? I think none of us wants to see anything that ruins the natural beauty out here. But we literally have no idea what this will look like, what it will sound like, or anything else.
Deep Green managing member Lewis Wolfson, a property developer from Needham, Massachusetts, declined multiple requests from Maine Public for a taped interview. In a statement, Wolfson says the project is envisioned to avoid the noise, emissions, and water use of data centers on land. And he's looking for partners to conduct environmental and engineering studies. Eric Massenet is a professor at UC Santa Barbara who works on data centers and sustainability. He says the idea isn't science fiction.
Is it achievable? The answer is yes. I mean, Microsoft did test this concept several years ago, as you've seen.
He says Microsoft's project near Scotland, which is no longer operating, showed that data centers can function underwater. Another facility was recently launched in China.
It could be a viable solution. Now, whether or not it's economical, whether or not it's technically achievable, given that particular location, that's hard to comment on. But it's not pie in the sky per se.
Regardless of its feasibility, the project is seen as a real threat by many people in the region, who are sounding the alarm. The Thunderbird Women, a Passamaquoddy drumming group from Sepayuk, north of Eastport, helped lead dozens of people at a recent rally against the proposal on the city's waterfront. Concerns about a data center in their backyard have produced a diverse coalition, including environmentalists, retirees, tribal representatives, hardline socialists, and Republican lawmakers. The result, 2 proposed city ordinances that take aim at data centers.
We, the citizens of Eastport, stand together to protect our waters, our livelihoods, and our future.
Eastport resident Deborah Gillespie worked on the petition campaign for the 2 measures. One is just a straight ban on all data centers over 25,000 square feet. The other would require a referendum vote for all large development projects.
Small cities are not powerless. We have the right and the responsibility to shape what happens in our waters, and that's precisely what this initiative does.
Opponents say thermal pollution from the data center would make the waters unlivable for lobster, that it would destroy the local fishing industry, tourism, and harm whales. And many see themselves as part of a larger backlash against big data centers that's sweeping the nation. At a crowded public hearing on the proposed ordinances, former Maine Senate President Kevin Ray, a Republican, noted that this fight is different from past disputes over an oil refinery and natural gas terminal in Eastport.
Actually, when you think about the times we live in and the divisiveness across the country, and it's trickled down to the local level, it's extraordinary that this proposal has united people of all stripes in opposition to the AI data center.
It's up to the Eastport City Council to decide now whether to enact the ban itself or send it to voters in November. Either way, opponents vow to keep fighting as long as it takes. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us for Weekend Edition tomorrow morning starting at 8. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.